Welcome to the Shipping Podcast, a multi-fandom podcast for the shipper in you. Hosted by Shirazade, your friendly mod, OTP shipper and fandom old.
Episode 11 brings us our first musical with Dear Evan Hansen. But while the songs are undeniably catchy, the story they tell is everything but fluffy, making for a fascinating interview with Nick, aka BBC Otaku, about the ship of Connor Murphy with the titular Evan Hansen.
But what's a ship, you might ask? It's an abbreviation for relationship and can be used as a noun or verb. I ship Kirk/Spock, or my favorite ship is Spirk, meaning you would like to see Star Trek's Kirk and Spock as a couple. And in the latter case, you're using one of the popular ship names, smushing their names together in a way that can be cutesy or cringy, depending on your point of view. However, this podcast will be zero judgment, 100% squee, as fans talk about their ships, why they ship them, and which fan works might make you ship them too. At the end, each guest will nominate the next fan to talk about their OTP, that's one true pairing, i.e. the ship they love the most, creating a multi-ship, multi-fandom chain of interviews. Het, i.e. straight couples, slash, meaning same-sex pairings, fictional characters, or even real people. The only limit is the imagination. Does that sound like something you might enjoy? Please give it a listen and let me know what you think. The Shipping Cast is hosted on shippingcast.fandomish.net. That's fandomish.net, where you can find show notes and subscribe on various podcasting platforms. There's also a Tumblr at shippingcast, a Twitter at shipping_cast, or you can email me on theshippingcast@fandomish.net, where you could also send me a recorded voice message for inclusion in a future show. I'm very open to questions and opinions about the ships we talk about or shipping in general, so please get in touch. I very much enjoy making this podcast, but I've had to start paying for pro accounts, so I set up a Patreon on patreon.com/shippingcast, in addition to the Ko-fi and PayPal links, which you can find on shippingcast.fandomish.net/support. Would you like me to record some episodes that cover more general aspects of fandom instead of being limited to ships? One of the Patreon perks is special episodes, and you can even vote on the topics. A note in advance. As mentioned before, this podcast is a judgment-free zone. My guests are here to share what they love, not to defend themselves. We ship and let ship here, and any flames, i.e. hateful messages, will be used to roast marshmallows, to use old-school fandom lingo. This expression dates me, I know. I'm actually 38, and I've been writing fanfiction since I hit puberty. However, I only joined online fandom in 2001, which was also when I started writing fic in English. My native language is Swiss German, in case you're wondering, and I have the equivalent of an MA in Cultural Anthropology, Media Studies and German Literature. These days, I work an admin job in the renewable energy sector, and I spend my free time consuming media in the form of books, movies, TV shows, and podcasts. I find fandom fascinating, not just as a creative outlet in the form of writing, vidding, and gifing, but as a cultural phenomenon. I hope I'm not the only one who loves to hear people talk about their passions, and there's few things fans are more passionate about than their ships. The ship that we focus on in each episode is clearly stated in the title, so if you think that a ship will cause you distress or anger, please skip the episode. It's also quite likely that there'll be spoilers, so in the immortal words of River Song...
Spoilers.
In addition to the spoiler warning, this episode also needs warnings for suicide, self-harm and main character death. This canon is a true angst bomb. At least we have fandom to fix things. And it was thanks to fandom that Nick fell in love with the Tree Bros in the first place. But let's dive right in.
I took a trip on a great big ship to a land across the sea. To a land across the sea, the sea, the sea, the sea.
Hi, Nick.
Hello.
Great that you could join me today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, this seems to be kind of the theme in that this is another fandom that I know nothing about.
Yeah. To be fair, it is a very obscure fandom.
I did listen to the musical, to the songs that you sent me. Yes, yes, I did listen to it, and I at least, you know, yeah, know approximately what it's about.
That's good.
But before we get into all of that, why don't you introduce yourself?
Okay, well, hi, my name is Nick, or BBC Otaku online. I'm an Australian creative writing major, and I'm 20 years old.
Great. So, yeah, quite young then.
Yeah, pretty young.
But have you been in fandom long?
Well, probably about 10 years or so now.
Oh, wow.
I started getting into AMVs and stuff like that when I was around 9-ish, mm-hmm, because of Winx Club and stuff like that. But I didn't get into fan fiction until I was about 12.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, I think.
Yeah.
Most fan fiction isn't really geared towards
nine-year-old crowd. I read some stuff that I should never have touched.
Didn't we all?
Yeah.
You were nominated by Wolfie. How do you know her?
Wolfie's, I guess you could call her my fandom mom, because she's the reason I got into fan fiction in the first place.
Nice.
When I was in year 7, so my first year of high school, I went to a creative writing club, and mm-hmm, she was a year 12, so the final year of high school, and she introduced me to anime and fanfiction.net, and I used to actually read her fanfiction at like 2 a.m. in the morning on the DS browser, so I'd be using my DS to write and read fanfiction.
I guess because that was yours, right? You didn't have to share that one.
Yeah, also just because I have insomnia, I always have, so it was just a way of like sneaking some extra reading time.
Yeah. So which fandom was your first one?
Oh, my first fandom. The first fandom that I wrote stuff for was Kingdom Hearts. Mm-hmm. I started writing fanfiction or crossover fanfiction, so it was a crossover between Kingdom Hearts and an anime called Vampire Knight, which I cannot touch now. I hate it. I hate it so much. But that was kind of what got me into fan fiction was Kingdom Hearts. Mm-hmm.
So you've always written as well as read.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, nice. And have you been through a lot of fandoms, or are you more like a one fandom?
I tend to person? Jump from hyper-focus to hyper-focus. So I find, mm-hmm, like first it was Kingdom Hearts, then it was Fullmetal Alchemist, Welcome to Night Vale, Super Hulock, Dear Evan Hansen, and now it's more something called Steam Power Draft, but they have no ships. In fact, the only ship that they have is Incest, and I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole.
Oh, wow, but, that's unusual, fandom with no ships.
Yeah, well, it's because it's about kind of a bunch of characters who are siblings. So, mm-hmm,
okay, yeah.
But I keep jumping from topic to topic, but I need to learn absolutely everything about that fandom. Like, it was a joke among my friends for a while that with Dear Evan Hansen, I would give them their Evan Hansen fact of the day. Because I would always just learn new things. Like, oh, did you know that Ben Platt was in this thing? And they'd be like, yes, we did. You told us yesterday.
Well, that's very handy for this podcast then. Mm-hmm. Because you can tell us all about Dear Evan Hansen.
Yes.
And is it usually like one ship that attracts you, or?
Normally it's just one. Well, sometimes it is multiple ships, but normally not to do with the same characters. So for example, mm-hmm, in this ship, the main pop, or in this fandom, there are two ships that are most popular, and that's Evan and Connor and Evan and Jared. But I I can see why some people like ship Evan and Jared, but I just can't really get into it.
Yeah, obviously your heart belongs to the other ship.
Here's the thing, when I first listened to the musical and first started reading fan fiction, exploring the fandom, Tree Bros, which is Evan and Connor, was a note EP of mine. I absolutely hated it.
Oh, fascinating.
Yeah, because they're not the main couple in the musical. In fact, Connor hates Evan in the musical. And
yeah,
I felt like, oh, it's them being needlessly pushed together. It makes no sense. They're ignoring the canon couple of Evan and Zoe. It's not fair. It's not fair. And then, like, well, that just broke down over time. And I was like, okay, now I kind of prefer them to the canon ship.
So, yeah, so we're already talking about the ship.
Yeah.
Why don't you give us a quick introduction to Dear Evan Hansen, the overall show, and then go into the ship.
The overall show is about, it's a musical and it's also a book. It got adapted into a book. And basically it is about a boy called Evan who has a very, very strong anxiety disorder that makes it difficult for him to function. And in order to try and release these anxieties, he writes letters to himself, starting with Dear Evan Hansen and signing them with Sincerely Me. And one day he writes a long note about how much he absolutely loves this girl. And then prints it off at school and it's found by the girl's brother, Connor, who flies into a rage, basically accusing him of doing it on purpose to mess with him, and then runs off with the letter. And 3 days later, Connor is found dead with the letter. And it's thought that that's his suicide note. And everyone thinks, Evan is his best friend and they're best friends. And he can't tell the truth because he's so freaked out. And he just continues this lie of the fact that they were friends, and it just brings him deeper and deeper into this hole of lies. And
isn't it kind of weird though that the letter is all about Connor's sister?
Yeah, they point that out. it's basically the exact quote that he uses is, "All my hopes is pinned on Zoe," and people see that more as Connor wanting to fix their broken relationship.
Ah, okay. Yeah.
But they do make...
So it's not like, not like a love letter.
They do make that joke. They do make that joke. Jared jokes that Connor was in love with Zoe, which isn't true. But...
Yeah, but obviously Evan is...
Oh, he's head over heels in love with her.
Yeah. So Connor dies pretty early in the musical.
He dies, I believe it's about 10 minutes in. He is dead, and he's technically only in one scene.
And yet you ship him.
Yes.
But Evan, how, why?
Because of, most people want to ship them together because neither of them get very happy endings. In the case of Evan, the lie is found out and he is ostracized by everybody, rightfully so.
Mm.
He loses his friends and the only person he has still on his team at the end is his mum. And with Connor, obviously he passes away, but so the fandom was just like, okay, neither of these deserved the ending that they got. So we're going to have them be happy together in a weird way.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, but that is quite heavy stuff then with the, Evan's anxiety disorder and the suicide. Yeah. And then...
it's emotionally exhausting. I remember when I was watching the musical for the first time, I literally had to pause it. Because I was just tears streaming down my face.
Oh.
But no, Connor is technically in it. He's in the background or more. He's meant to be the voice in Evan's head that tells him what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And so he is in the background. And in the book, he is actually a ghost who is haunting Evan.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he's haunting Evan and he's haunting his own ex-boyfriend called Miguel in the book.
Also, he's gay.
Yeah, he says that he can swing either way, but it's considering that he calls or says that all of his interactions with women have been unsatisfactory, I think it's more him leaning towards gay than,
What made you, fall into this fandom? Because, you said it made you cry when you watched the musical.
Well, I think, a lot of people, I got introduced to it because of Tumblr. I'm a big fan of musical theatre in general, and I saw a lot of people talking about Dear Evan Hansen, and I was like, oh, I'll give it a go. So I watched it, and then I related to the characters so much, especially because I have an anxiety disorder of my own, so seeing a character who is very realistically portrayed to be the kind of, he's not nervous as in he's like, oh, everything's so scary, and look at me, I'm a precious little bean. Like, he's just realistically anxious all the time. And I found that quite refreshing in a weird way.
Yeah. Yeah, it's quite unusual. There's not a lot of, like, source material that gets, like, stuff like that right.
Yeah, it's because apparently the creators were, or do have some experience with anxiety, especially Ben Platt, the person who played Evan for the longest time.
Ah, okay, so the creator also played.
No, he wasn't the creator. He just has experience with anxiety.
Ah, okay, okay.
Have you ever seen Pitch Perfect?
Yes, yes, I have.
He was the magician dude in that.
Okay, I know which one you mean.
Yeah.
So did you get to see the musical live? Or
I wish. No, I live in Australia and it's only available in, I believe, Canada and America right now. Though they're also planning tours of England. But I live in a very remote part of the country.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, if it's not, if it does ever come to Australia, it'll be at least a 4-day drive away from me.
Yeah, Australia is quite big.
It is gigantic. Though we are, Book of Mormon is coming to my city soon. So I can't wait for that.
Ooh, okay. Yeah, that's cool.
Mm.
So, you said at first you didn't like the ship.
No, I hated it.
Yeah. What made you change your mind?
Well, I was starved for fan fiction because the thing about Tree Bros is it is the most, by far, the most popular ship in the fandom. So I'd always go on AO3 and it'd be just full of Tree Bros. And I'm like, you know what? Fine. I'm going to give it a go because I want to see more of these characters. And the most popular fan fiction at the time was something called The Desperate Type by Cha-Cha Cherry Bomb. I think that's how you, oh, it's Cha-Cha-Cha-Cha Cherry Bomb. That's her username, or their username, my apologies.
Yeah.
And I read it and I marathoned it in a day and fell in love with their characterization of Evan and Connor and the romance between them. And then I just started reading more fan fiction and I was like, oh my God, I actually like this couple now.
So it was pretty much solely because of fandom
that it's actually kind of agreed upon that the canon, like Evan and Connor in the musical, would never have gone together.
Okay.
Just because of how nervous they both are.
Mm-hmm.
But in fanon, obviously, in fanfiction, anything goes. So yeah. You can...
I assume that mostly Connor doesn't die.
Oh, yes, definitely. There are a few things, but mostly he's alive and well.
Yeah, which, you know, changes things.
Yeah.
So what's the fandom like? You already said that Connor and Evan are the most popular pairing. Is it quite active?
On AO3, it is very active. There doesn't go a day when something isn't posted or something's updated.
Wow.
But on... Tumblr, the fandom's kind of slowed down a little bit because the original cast of the musical, for the most part, has moved on. So it's mostly a bunch of new actors. But there are still people who are active in the fandom, Trees and Sky on Tumblr often posts a lot of incorrect quotes and stuff like that. But we're quite quiet at the moment. We peaked up again when the novel got released. Because there was so much controversy as to whether or not it was good or not. It was quite good. But and then after kind of everyone had finished reading the book, things kind of slowed down again.
Yeah.
But the fandom community is still live and well.
Oh, that's pretty cool. So you yourself, do you also write in this fandom?
I do. I have quite a few. I have a 100,000 word fan fiction.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, called Trying Through the Trauma. And it's about, it's a superpower AU.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, so they basically live in a universe where people who go through extreme trauma develop superpowers in reaction to that. Mm-hmm. So Evan and Connor with superpowers.
That's a pretty cool idea. I don't think I've ever seen that before.
It's very fun.
We already said that most of the fic is like at least canon divergent.
Yeah.
Is there lots of AUs as well?
There are a lot of AUs that have Connor as either an angel or a ghost, which I like a lot. There is a very popular AU, which is the time travel AU, where through whatever means, Evan from the end of the musical is transported back to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And he has
so he can fix
come and go by character shoes is a really good mm-hmm. example. And that also has Connor as a ghost, because while Connor is in this universe that he's in is still alive, the ghost of the Connor from the universe he left behind is still haunting him, mm-hmm. which was very interesting to see.
Yeah. So what are other like common tropes that you will find?
Again, there's the angel and stuff. I actually have them written down. Mm-hmm,
the angel,
find it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to find the list. There's a really big crossover community
mm-hmm.
where people will write crossovers with other musicals, specifically Be More Chill.
What's that about?
That is about a kid in high school who takes a drug that is actually a supercomputer that embeds itself in his brain and tells him how to be cool. Yeah, musicals at the moment are fucking weird, dude.
Yeah, I'm not really hugely into musicals. For me, it's like the last one I saw was Hamilton. So
but there's another subsection of people who will do crossovers with TV shows. So they'll do AUs where it's the characters from Dear Evan Hansen in the universe of Orphan Black or Russian Doll. I'm writing one at the moment where Connor goes on Queer Eye, and that's quite fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anything with Queer Eye.
But yeah, the most common AU is Everybody Lives, Nobody Dies.
Mm-hmm.
Just because no one wants Connor to stay dead.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Not even the actors. Originally, in the musical, he was meant to just never appear again, but the writers liked Mike Feist, the dude that played him, so much that they wrote him in to be in the other thing just because they felt like they needed him to have more like stage time.
So dead?
Yeah,
that's, you know, we fix that.
Yeah, oh, we'll just put a band-aid on that, that's fine.
Yeah. So, but it's like most of the fic like very angsty.
Oh,
like,
hell yeah.
With the Yeah?
There is a lot of fluff, but it is mostly just angst.
Oh, boy.
But, like, normally with a happy ending, luckily.
Yeah, I guess they have to start, like, in canon, which is
harrowing.
But do you have, like, a favourite canon moment?
My favourite canon moment isn't technically from the musical, it's from the book.
Okay.
And it's when Evan is giving a speech about Connor in front of the whole school and the ghost of Connor is just watching, and he gets really, really angry because Evan's wearing his tie. And the actual quote is he wearing my fucking tie? And just like, I was listening to that on the train home and I was just like laughing so hard. There's also another scene, which is the only scene really in both the musical and the book where Connor acts completely selflessly, and that's that his ghost stops Evan from being hit by a car.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He has more of a sway over things in the book than he does in the musical.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, they don't really interact much.
Yeah. You said you listen to the book. Does like the original cast read the book? Or
the book is written by, or read, sorry, by Ben V. Ross doing the Evan parts. Mm-hmm. And he was, I believe, one of the understudies for Evan. I don't know if he's still an understudy. And Mike Feist, the original Connor, did the voices for Connor's bits as well, which was great.
Yeah.
And it's also kind of funny because Ben V. Ross, I believe in some cases, has played Connor, and his boyfriend plays Evan as an understudy. So Connor and Evan do technically in the real world date. Very technically.
Very technically. Yeah. Is there, like, anything else that you want to share about this fandom?
This is probably just my own experience, but they're all very young.
Mm-hmm.
In the nicest mm-hmm. possible way. They're all like 14 years old, and I feel really maternal over all of them.
Aww.
Just they're like, they're getting so excited over this like musical, and I was like, oh my god, you're my children now. I adopt you. I will protect you.
How did the musical get so popular online?
Well, again, with the mental health thing, it got very popular with mm-hmm. with Tumblr. Okay. But it also just became very, very popular outside of fandom. It actually won mm-hmm. the Tony for Best Musical that year. Wow. And the Tonys is kind of like the Oscars for musical theatre.
Yeah, yeah.
So that it won Best Musical. It was at the Macy's Parade in Thanksgiving. And it became very, very popular just in the general kind of public, especially in America. Mm-hmm. Not so much mm-hmm. outside of America, I don't think, but for a yeah. while, like, they were being interviewed on the news and stuff like that.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, do you want to share anything else? It's like, you know, you already said that you like to know everything about the
I have a request from the fandom.
You have a request? Oh,
a request okay. to the fandom, which is, can someone please write an Office Space AU? Because, like, I've been craving that for months, and the only one that is available is called The Accountant in the Blue Suit, and it has a lot of smut, too much for my aromantic mm-hmm. asexual self to take. So
okay.
can someone please write like a version of The Accountant in the Blue Suit just without the smut? I will love you forever.
A PG version.
Yeah.
That would, yeah, maybe someone will. I mean, so. Isn't it like a rule that if someone thinks of it, then it exists?
I think the rule is if someone can think of it, then porn exists.
Porn exists, which is obviously not what you want.
Yeah.
Well, worst case scenario, you're going to have to write it yourself.
Yeah, to be fair, I'm fine with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I usually end up doing. I'm like, oh, look, this movie would make a good pick. And I'm like, yes, let's write that.
Yes, that's what I like about this fandom is basically it's just people looking at the original original canon content and being like, no, let's not do that.
Let's
not have everyone be sad. Let's have everyone be happy.
Yeah. But I assume you still love the original source material.
I do. I do.
As well.
I love it to bits. Just because the music is amazing, the characters are amazing.
Yes, it is.
It's one of the,
like, I did listen to the musical, but I must say I was glad that I read like the Wikipedia summary beforehand.
It's very easy to get the wrong impression. That was actually a controversy when it won. Mm-hmm. The Tonys or the Tony for Best Musical, there are a lot of people saying it didn't deserve it because it doesn't have a lot of singing in it.
So I did think that there had to be a lot of talking in order to get the story across.
Like, when I first listened to it, the first song I listened to was Sincerely Me, and I had mm-hmm. no idea in context it's Evan and Jared writing letters, but
yeah.
Because Connor is singing his bits, I genuinely thought it was just them two writing letters to each other mm-hmm. and just being really gay.
Yeah, it's like the thing where they like, but not in a gay way.
But not because we're gay.
the only guy, what is it, like, the only guy I love is my dad?
Which is ironic because neither of them have good relationships with their fathers.
But yeah, I thought I definitely needed the summary in order to make sense of the songs.
To be fair, most people do just throw that out the window. Like, nope, that's sad.
Yeah, the music is very good.
I've got the CD and everything. Catchy. I love it.
Yeah.
Because like I said, I've got the Hyperfocus thing. I have 20 different versions of Dear Evan Hansen on my laptop.
Ooh. How?
Yes, there is the original broadcast, but then there's also bootlegs. So I have a bootleg with Ben Platt. I have a bootleg with Mike Feist. I have a bootleg with most of the understudies. Yeah, I just dived straight in. At one point, I joked that what I could do is I could edit the whole thing so that it would, all of the parts would be played by one actor, because he understudied so many parts.
And but did you already see it or no, just listen to it?
Well, I've seen the video of it, but
That's what I mean. So there is video,
yeah,
as well.
Yeah. But I haven't.
It's like an official recording,
No. I would. If I'm ever in like the situation where I can pay to go see it, I definitely will. Mm-hmm. Like I've had a bootleg of Heathers, the musical, on my computer for ages, and I went to see that live, and that was amazing.
Yeah.
The bootleg for Dear Evan Hansen is them sat in the theater with a camera filming them in secret.
Hoping very much not to get kicked
people
out.
People have been kicked out for trying to film it. But Ben Platt,
has been noted.
The dude who played Evan, he did not give a shit. Like, if he saw someone, it's more the other members of the cast that get their, like, knickers in a twist. But, like, you know, respect the hustle.
Yeah, I mean, it's not, like you said, you would definitely in a flash go see it.
Oh, hands down. Like,
if you could.
Just, I would want to see it live so badly. I wouldn't even care if it was just like high schoolers doing it.
Maybe you should like start at your college or
we
something.
We do. Kind of close to where I live, we have the West Australian Academy of Performing Arts, which is where Hugh Jackman went to school, and they put on a lot of musicals. Okay. So I'm just got all of my fingers crossed that they're going to do Dear Evan Hansen at some point.
Yeah, I can imagine. So I don't know. Should we move on to the rec corner?
Yeah.
Have you got some nice fics and stuff for us to read?
Well, hands down, the one that I'd recommend to people who don't really get Tree Bros is The Desperate Type. Mm-hmm. Just because that's, well, first off, it's the one that got me into shipping it, but it's also just genuinely really, really good. In fact, anyone or anything written by Cherry Bomb is just amazing. Like, she's got, or they, sorry, I keep getting their pronouns wrong, I'm so sorry. They,
It's difficult. Yeah. Like, oh, sometimes I do assume in fandom that everyone is female, which of course is very, very
wrong. But I'm non-binary. I don't have an excuse. But but they've got an entire series about Connor growing up and kind of getting to where he was at the start of the musical. Mm-hmm. And that has been fascinating to read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I can imagine that's something like in the musical probably doesn't really get around to, because it's from Evan's point of view.
It wasn't actually until the novel that we really learned anything about Connor. Like, all we knew came from his family and from Jared and just what other people said about him, and none of that really matched up too well. Like, you had one person saying that he was he was kind and sweet, and he was like, his mum saw him as kind of her baby, but then meanwhile his sister saw him as a monster. And it was kind of like seeing all these conflicting interpretations of who Connor was, and then reading the novel and learning that he was really just kind of a normal dude who had quite a difficult time in his own head. And you just want to hug him, tell him that everything's going to be okay.
Aww.
especially in Cherry Bomb's fix.
Yeah.
Because I joke that Cherry Bomb's fix is just everything bad happens to Connor.
Aww. So I guess, because there's not much concrete in the source material, you can pretty much, you know, latch onto Connor and make him into...
Yeah, his character is
whatever you
want. His character is very malleable. Like, with Evan, the character is kind of strict in that he, in his personality and in his mannerisms. But with Connor, you can be a lot more liberal. So it's very common because there's a specific song that Evan sings called For Forever, which is him describing kind of this fake story of him and Connor. So it's very common for people to just take that song as gospel and write fan fictions where that is just genuinely the truth. And like they went to an orchard and had a picnic and ate ice cream together and had a very nice time.
I actually started reading one fic.
Come on.
And it's called Jump.
Oh, yes.
By Beth Wright.
Yeah, I have been meaning
And that's to. Exactly one of those.
Yeah, I've been meaning to read that for about a year now. It has been it has been at the top of the kudos ratings.
Yes, ages. that's why I clicked on it.
Yeah, but I keep starting it and then for something will come up and I'll just not get round to it.
So I can do make a recommendation. Yes. Wow. This is a first. Jump, definitely. It's very good. I'm at chapter 20 of 31.
Oh, damn.
It's very angsty, though.
Yep.
It's like people should not read this if they have a problem with self-harm and, you know, suicidal thoughts.
That's the thing with just the fandom in general. If I will preface the war, I should have probably said this at the start. Do not go near this fandom if you struggle with that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Because
which is why I'm also is why I'm only in chapter 20. So I had to take a break.
I had to take a few breaks when I was reading The Desperate Type for the first time, because that's the entire premise of that. I didn't know this when I started reading it, but the premise is that Connor and Evan make a suicide pact together.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, and it's like them, or Evan falls in love with Connor and he realizes that he doesn't want either of them to die anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's like so emotionally just a gut punch.
Yeah.
But it all works out kind of well in the end, kind of.
Good.
And like, I think that's why people like this ship is the fact that no matter what, Evan and Connor always end up being happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, in the musical, in the book, they're miserable, but in the fandom, there's that hope.
Yes. Yeah.
All my hope is pinned on Tree Rose.
in Jump, the premise is that Evan is going to jump off a bridge after not succeeding in killing himself by falling out of the tree.
Yeah.
And then he meets Connor there, who also wants to jump. And they both end up not jumping. So
that's also a very common trope, is just them both meeting as they're going to commit suicide and being like, no, you're not going to die.
Yeah.
There's also the other fan fiction I would really recommend people read is Come and Go by Character Shoes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the time travel AU where Evan goes back in time and has to fix everything.
That does sound very, very intriguing.
Yeah. Just because not only is it Evan having to deal with kind of being a stranger in his own world now, because he knows things about the characters that they don't even know about themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But he also, there's that dynamic of Connor, a character who, for all purposes, was supposed to die, now having to face the future that is there for him. And it's just, it's so good, and they're so cute. It's a bit of a slow burn, though.
So is it quite a long one?
I can't really remember. I think it probably is quite long. But I read it as it was being updated.
Yeah.
So it didn't seem that long to me. If you want a long fic, One of a Kind by Vinegar and Glitter, that's an Orphan Black AU where Connor is actually a clone.
Oh.
And there's a whole load of different Connors running around and they're all amazing. That is 100 chapters and it's
Ooh, that is long.
Yeah, it's like 200,000 words.
Wow.
I haven't finished it yet, but I'm on chapter like 35. And then there's also the sequel.
Yeah. Oh, still okay. Okay.
But that author, Vinegar and Glitter, and Cherry Bomb, they're doing a collab at the moment, and I'm just here for it. I love it.
Yeah. What's the name?
I cannot remember.
You will have to look it up and send me the link.
It's great. It's a Russian doll AU, because basically what it is in that fan fiction, Connor and Evan keep on dying for whatever reason. So Connor fell down the stairs at one point and died, but it's them basically, they keep on being respawned at the start of their night, and they have to try and figure out a way to get through the night without dying. And that's great.
Yeah, sounds pretty cool.
There's also, I feel like I need to shout this one out just because I owe so much to it, but Black Hole by Aliens and Flower Crowns, that's another Connor-centric fic, and that's basically Evan is in a band and Connor is like a fan and kind of has a bit of a crush on him. It's great. That was the first fan fiction I read after The Desperate Type.
So that sounds quite fluffy in comparison.
Yeah, it really, it does have a little bit of angst, but it is mostly just fluff.
Yeah.
Although there are some scenes with Connor where things get a bit heavy, but that's just Connor for you.
Yeah. I'm getting that impression.
Yeah, he's an angsty boy.
Yeah.
It's very common for people to diagnose him with borderline personality or bipolar disorder. So that often is explored in the fan fictions as well.
Any other recommendations?
If there is one, it's not in my head at the moment.
Okay.
I'll add it to a list.
Yeah, definitely. So we can put it all in the show notes for people to check out. Is there also art being created?
There is a lot of art being, not so much now, but back in the day, there was a lot. One of my favorites is this one by Somebody One on Tumblr, and they drew these very cute little chibi versions of the cast. And when when Dear Evan Hansen won the Tony for best musical, they drew kind of all the characters celebrating. And because there's an Easter skit that the original Broadway cast did where Connor was an angel, so he had kind of a little like plastic angel wings and a halo and stuff like that. So they drew him like that, and it is just the most adorable thing in the world.
Yeah.
There's also one which is Evan says to Connor that he wants to go home from a party because all this stress is bad for the baby. Oh, who's the baby? I'm the baby.
Cool. Yeah, you definitely sent me links to those as well.
There's also I've got a list. There's NSENEIS, and they do this most beautiful intricate artwork that's just like, it looks absolutely beautiful, and there's more of a realistic style. They have this one fan art that's just like Evan and Connor with a service dog and a cat, respectively. And it's just so cute. I want Connor. More fan art and fan fiction should have Connor with a dog.
Yes. Yes. Give it so he can get some cuddles.
Yes. He deserves all the cuddles.
Yeah. So is the art mostly like based on the original cast or...?
Some people do draw the understudies. They do get some love every now and then. But it was just because Ben Platt and Mike Feist played the characters for so long that people tend to focus on them.
Yeah.
Like, especially because they're... Especially with Connor, because Mike Feist has very, very long hair. And that was kind of a bit to do in the... Not in the plot, but in the dialogue, there was a joke where one of the characters said that it was very school shooter chic. And that joke has kind of stuck out in the fandom. So a lot of people like to reference it in fan fictions. And in order for that to happen, Connor has to have quite long hair.
Long hair, that is true.
Although the new dude playing him full time, he's grown his hair out quite a lot.
Specifically for that.
Yeah, apparently he was told you need to grow your hair out. The two rules.
So you can have the school shooter chic.
Yes, the two rules for being Connor is you have to have your nails painted black and you have to have long hair.
Both of which are plot points in Jump.
Yeah. They're plot points in Come and Go too. One of my favourite scenes in Come and Go is a very fluffy scene where Evan paints little leaves on Connor's Aww. Nails. And it's cute. Like they have a dynamic in that where they Connor asks him mm-hmm. if it's a good leaf or a bad leaf. And mm-hmm. it's so fluffy and cute. That entire scene where it's just kind of a slumber party is very nice and relaxing.
Yeah. Oh, lovely.
Because it's just them. Like,
so it's not all angst. Yeah, all
there are moments where they take a break and kind of like there's a bit where they go out and just look at this really weird car that they found and smoke weed. And that was just a really nice, cute scene.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Any other recommendations? Things people should check out if they want to get into this fandom?
There was a comic, I'm not entirely sure if it's still around, called Flowery Boy Evan. And I just fell in love with that comic. It's an AU where Evan has basically the power to heal people and he has all these flowers growing on him and it's all very, very cute.
Oh, that sounds pretty also, cute. I wonder if we can find that one.
I hope so. There was one person that was going to recommend called Mushi R. They do still have some artwork on Tumblr, which is amazing and I would highly recommend. But they used to do all of these animatics for Dear Evan Hansen and they deleted them all. And I'm so annoyed because they were like one of my favorite artists and they had one specific video, which was them splicing up quotes from Parks and Rec with True Bros. And that was one of my favorite videos and it's gone now. And I'm just so sad.
Yes. Did you at least save it for yourself?
I didn't. Because I forgot it existed and then I got nominated for this and I was like, oh yeah, that video, I should look it up and it's gone.
Oh.
And I just want it back.
Oh, why do people do this? Don't they know that it hurts us?
I think it's because they said on their Tumblr that they said that they thought the art was really bad and that's why they deleted it. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's amazing. Yeah. It's so much better than I could ever do.
Oh, which is why something I love about AO3 is the orphaning.
Yes, that's very good.
You know, so if you think that something sucks, you can just, you know, disassociate your identity from it.
I need to do that.
But people can still enjoy it.
I need to do that with some. Huh? I need to do that with some of mine. Yeah. I've got this really old fan fiction on there that's just stinking up the place.
Well, I'm just, I just have it all out there.
Yeah.
Under my name.
God.
From the very first one.
Yeah, that's one thing.
And I get kudos and stuff and I'm like, did you really read that one? Okay.
Like, oh God, I was hoping that was gone. But no, that's one of the things we're lucky about with the Dear Evan Hansen fandom is a majority of the fics are very, very good. Like it's very rare that you'll find one with spelling mistakes in it, let alone one that's badly written.
That's really good because otherwise sometimes you just click on something and you're like, what did I just read? No!
Yeah, there was one fic, which I'm not going to mention the name of, which I started reading and I didn't read the tags and it was just instant regret.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh God, but that's only happened once, which is more than I can say for any fandom that I've ever looked up on fanfiction.net.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that is quite unusual.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool if you know that if you're in that tag, you're bound to find quality content.
Yeah. And people do also tend to do very well researched fan fiction, just because of, like, with mental illness and stuff like that, that if there are any mental illnesses shown, they will be very well researched, which I'm very happy about.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a fandom standard to kind of pay attention to those things. That's really cool.
Yeah. We're lucky in the fact that most of the people in the fandom are very, very lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And very, quite respectful.
Yeah.
Like, there's no real bad blood between the ships, which is amazing.
Mm. Yeah.
Like, there are some people, like, who I used to be, who hate Tree Bros with a passion, but they're normally quite quiet.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, everyone's entitled to their opinion. Just, like, don't harsh other people's squee, and, you know, it's all good. So, who will I be talking to next?
You'll be talking to Sugar Butter Dumbass. I hope, okay. I hope she doesn't mind me saying her URL. And she will most likely be talking about Percibeth, or Percy Jackson and Annabeth Chase.
Oh, that's going to be the first time that we have revisit a fandom that we've already talked about.
Yeah, she prepare a lot of space on your hard drive. She is prepared to rant.
Just, you know, yeah. I'm going to be prepared. Okay. And so, and where can people find you online?
I am BBC Otaku on pretty much everything. So on AO3 and Tumblr, just all BBC Otaku.
Okay, that's easy to find then. And yeah, and also, as always, there'll be links in the show notes. Yes. Thank you so much for joining
Thank
me
you
today.
So much for having
it
me.
Was lots of fun.
I hope I didn't get too off topic. I don't feel like I talked about Utrecht very much.
No, I thought we were pretty much on point most of the time.
Could be worse. Like the Sherlock episode, I remember, went off topic quite a lot, which was very entertaining.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it wasn't the Sherlock episode. Just a general Holmes episode. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, by the way, I have so much fan fiction to read now. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. That's one of the drawbacks, plus sides, not quite sure, of this podcast. I'm like, I will never, ever be able to read everything that people recommend. No. Although most of it is like so good. Yeah. Like, I don't have enough time.
Curse you, college. That's in my case. For me, it's college.
Just like life in my case. And all the other fandom stuff that I'm doing. Yeah. But yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
It was lots of fun.
I took a trip on a great big ship to a land across the sea. To a land across the sea.
This wraps up the 11th episode. I very much recommend that you listen to the musical and read some of the great fics. Links to all of which you can find in the show notes on shippingcast.fandomish.net. That's fandomish.net. Because of Easter, the next episode will be released on Thursday, April 18th, instead of the usual Friday. We'll revisit Percy Jackson, a fandom already covered all the way back in episode 4. But this time, I'll talk about the canonical pairing of Percy and Annabeth with Sugar Butter Dumbass.
You can follow and get in touch on Tumblr as ShippingCast, on Twitter as Shipping_Cast, and you can email the podcast on theshippingcast@fandomish.net. I'd love to hear from you. Let me know what you think of the podcast and the ships we've been covering. You can find the podcast wherever podcasts are found. A full list is on shippingcast@fandomish.net/subscribe. As mentioned before, if you want to get the next episode the moment I finish it, at least one day early, you can become a supporter on patreon.com/shippingcast. This also has some other nice rewards, like extra episodes on other fandom topics. And that way you can help me pay for the necessary pro accounts for the podcast and keep me going. There's also the option to send me a one-time donation on ko-fi.com/shirazade or via PayPal to webmistress@shirazade.net. All these options are also described on shippingcast.fandomish.net/support. And you can help me totally for free by leaving reviews or simply spreading the word to other fans. I'm Shirazade, spelled Shirasade, and you can find me as such on Tumblr, AO3, YouTube, Pillowfort, Dreamworld, and on shirazade.net. I've also joined Mastodon, as Shirazade at fandom.inc. The podcast artwork was created by the wonderful Little Zion. The music is Sailor Song by the Peerless Quartet. Thanks so much for listening, and remember, you are the captain of your ship.
I've just got a notification saying season 3 is out in Australia, so I know what I'm going to do tonight.
What? Season 3 is out?
Yeah.
Oh my god, I missed that. Okay, I know what I'm going to be spending to like tomorrow.
Hell yeah.
I'll just watch that. Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Great. So this podcast has already been worth it for me.